You ever have a crush? Know why they call them crushes? Well, maybe it takes a little remembering to remember crushes. School days, some of you are in school, so maybe you're involved in one now, but the dictionary defines that word, crush, this way: to press with a force that destroys or deforms, to pound into small fragments, to force out by squeezing, to hug or embrace strongly, to subdue or suppress utterly. Then it gives one slang definition for the word, crush, an intense infatuation. Now, that's the one that we're referring to, of course. Those puppy love crushes that young people get involved in, I suppose young people. And most of the time, for many, it ends up hurting us. In other words, we get crushed. It's one of the ways, I guess, we learn to live with disappointment. It's a part of growing up, no doubt a painful one when we experience it. I'm reminded of a story of an older man, a rich older man, who married a beautiful, much younger woman. And soon after the marriage, he began... mind began working and worrying and wondering if she had marry him just for his money. And this was really bothering him, so he asked his new wife, "If I lost all my money, would you still love me?" And she said to him very reassuringly, of course, honey, don't be silly. Of course I'd still love you, and I would miss you terribly. Well, sometimes the pain of rejection is real, and it's a crushing pain in all seriousness, isn't it? We experience it in our lives, not just in relationships like we're referring to now, in many different forms. And it's something that our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, knew about all too well. Before Jesus went to the cross, he had a confrontation with his main enemies, the religious leaders of the Jews, especially in Jerusalem. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 23. And he has some pretty harsh words for those leaders. And they deserved every single one of them. The things that he spoke in that chapter, he calls them hypocrites. He calls them blind men. He calls them lawless people. That's just a few of the things he says in that chapter. But after he said all that to those individuals, he then turns to the city, to Jerusalem, at the close of Matthew 23, sort of to the whole population there. And he says some words that are so memorable at the end of that chapter, verses 37 through 39, Matthew 23. Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered you, your children, together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" I want you to imagine Jesus' heart on that occasion. The Bible says concerning Jesus that he came to his own people, that is the Jews, and his own did not receive him. They didn't recognize him as who he in fact was. Didn't recognize him as their long-promised, long-awaited Messiah, and they rejected him. Jesus, no doubt, was crushed. And we're not talking, of course, about the kind of crush that we started with this morning, a disappointment, a puppy love kind of thing. Jesus had demonstrated to these people pure sacrificial love. He showed the highest love ever demonstrated, and he was rejected by them. He he was turned away from, despite giving all. And that is crushing. And we see that here in his words, that these lamentful words, the cry of the Son of God spoken over the city of Jerusalem. So maybe this parallel we've drawn here in our opening with a young person's puppy love is not the best way that we can describe it. And what we see here in this passage, Matthew 23, because as you read it, what it's really like is like the love of a parent for a child. And the child, for whatever reason, rejecting that love. That's even more crushing, isn't it, if that happens? You have a parent who would do anything for the child, who loves their child with a pure sacrificial love, who would give their life for that child if that's what was called for, and yet the child rejects that love, refuses to be loved by that good parent. Maybe that's more of what we see reflected here in this passage and what Jesus experiences. Listen again to his words he speaks. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." That's a child rejecting a parent's love, and how crushing that is. So it's a very emotional scene. Jesus standing here looking out over a city filled with people who really need him, who really need what he has to offer them. They are in a stressful situation, a very threatening world. Their lives are filled with anxiety and despair. They're searching for meaning and purpose in their lives. And he is ready to offer them everything that they need, everything that they're looking for, but they're not willing. They reject him. Well, I want us to learn a few things from that this morning as we consider this passage, this sad scene in Jesus' life. Let's reflect on it for a few moments. First thing I want us to see and contemplate here is the patience of God. The patience of God is incredible. Jesus says here, these people he was addressing, that they were people who for centuries had rejected those God had sent to them, had killed the prophets that God sent, had stoned those whom God had sent to them. And yet here still is the Son of God sent to them. And he's making his appeal to them. Despite all that history of rejection and violence against those God had sent, God does not give up on people. He is patient. He is long-suffering. He longs to forgive. He wants to welcome people back. Now, we could make a long study of examples of that throughout Scripture from beginning to end, the incredible patience of God, so much so that it frustrates his own people who aren't as patient. Imagine a person that's trapped in a burning building and you're trying to rescue them. And so you send in a firefighter, and he shoots him dead. And so you send in another to save him, and he pushes him out the window. And you send in another, and the man that's trapped in this inferno beats him back with a baseball bat. How patient are you going to be? How many are you going to sacrifice? How many will you send to save that person that doesn't want to be saved? God is infinite in his patience. He's so patient, he sends his most precious asset, his only begotten Son, to rescue people who keep saying no. To rescue people like you and me. The patience of God. And along with that, I want us to remember the loving appeal of Jesus. We've referred to this already, but here we have Jesus, and yes, He is God, but He's also man, isn't He? And no man enjoys being rejected. No man relishes being mistreated, lied about, having traps set for him over and over, which is what happened to the Lord. And yet Jesus, to the very end, loves. His words here, I don't know that I would have spoken these words if I was in the situation he was in. Would you? After all he had experienced, his words here are the words of a loving parent. Jerusalem didn't deserve his love. And yet he loved her. And the same is true with any of us, folks. We don't deserve his love, and yet he loves us. Scripture says, while we were still sinners in rebellion, while we were still rejecting him, Christ died for us. And notice here that Jesus doesn't use any force as he makes his appeal to these people to accept them. He could have used force. It's not as if he didn't have force. All the power of the universe was at his fingertips, and yet what does he do? He appeals to them. He doesn't arm twist, he doesn't manipulate, he doesn't overpower, he doesn't trick, he just asks. He just knocks. And people decide whether to open or not. Imagine for a moment the person, whoever it is, that loves you most in this world. Maybe it's a spouse, a parent, close friend. That person comes to you with their arms wide open, wanting to embrace you, hug you, show their love for you. Imagine just turning away from that. It's what happens here. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says, "How often I would have gathered you together in my arms, and you said no. You would not. You wouldn't have." Well, third this morning, this event in Jesus' life shows us terrible power of sin. We usually underestimate the power of sin, but there was one reason that this happened that we read about today, one reason that Jerusalem rejected Jesus, it was sin. There's one reason that people turn away from him today, say no to him today, it's sin. Some will remember several years ago riots in Los Angeles following trial of Rodney King. Unfortunately, in our country, we've seen it many times since, but this one stuck out in my mind because it's a particular story. Those days we watched a lot of terrible images on TV, both before and after that event. There were people in those riots being beat up, random destruction of property, wholesale looting, people breaking into stores, walking out with whatever they wanted, sort of laughing as they did. It was total lawlessness. There was a man that was interviewed who had broken into a record store. He came out, he had a big box. A reporter was there and shoved a microphone in front of him and asked him, "What did you take?" And he answered as follows, "I took gospel cassettes and CDs. I love Jesus. Praise the Lord." You see, Sin will make you do things and say things that make no sense whatsoever. Rejecting the appeal of Jesus makes no sense, especially in light of eternity. We find ourselves in a world in desperate need of God. Nothing we're trying in this world without Him works. We keep fooling ourselves into thinking we'll figure it out some way without Him. But nothing works without Him. And God offers Himself to the world, and yet so often the door is shut in His face. We need Him in our schools, and that has largely been closed off. We need Him in government, and He is unwelcome there. In marriages and homes and in every segment of society, but He's so often ignored, He is rejected. It's crushing. Finally, this morning, this scene, Matthew 24, reminds us, shows us that there are consequences for rejecting the appeal of Jesus. This probably isn't our favorite part to talk about. It's not comfortable, but here it is, black and white before us. What does Jesus say in verse 38? He says, "See, your house is left to you desolate." What's he mean? Well, in about four decades from the time he spoke those words, Jerusalem will be burned to the ground by the armies of Rome. But even before that, they had rejected the appeal of the Messiah. They had rejected a relationship with their God. Jesus says, in his days, they are desolate. There will never be a time when God stops loving. But there will be a time when He starts judging. And there'll be a time when He passes sentence and a time when people and nations feel the consequences of rejecting Jesus. Yes, it is true that God is the great lover. But He's also the judge of all the earth. Never heard anyone say that the following is their favorite passage of Scripture. Now, maybe it is yours. Let me know if it is. But I've never heard it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and following talks about when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. There will come a day, we do not know when the appeals will stop. When the arms of Jesus are no longer open to people who reject Him, there will come a day of judgment. And with that in mind, doesn't it make sense to say, "Lord Jesus, here I am. I want to be yours. I want your embrace. I want your forgiveness. I want to accept your love." Maybe the case that you're here and you have listened to appeal after appeal, and you've consistently said, "No. No, thank you. Not today. Maybe sometime. That is actually rejection of Jesus. That is crushing. Not to me. I'm irrelevant in this. It is crushing to the Lord. And yet He keeps coming back. He keeps appealing. He appeals to you today. He stands with open arms. You can see the nails, where the nails were. You can see the scars. And He says, Will you accept me today? Will you come today? Will you let me love you today? Will you come back to me today? He keeps asking. And I ask you today if you'll open the door to Him. While there's time. His appeal is open. And now you can answer while we stand and we sing.